Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Father, we're thankful for a hope that transcends today. And we're thankful for a hope that transcends eternity. You are our salvation. In you we trust, in you we hope, in you we stand. Thank you that you're here with us. Speak now. Through your holy word, by your Holy Spirit, touch us, draw us near, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for making time in your week to come and to worship God together with us. It's better because you're here. So thank you for being here. I want to invite you to open your Bible to Psalm 30. If you're in the Red Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 461. And if you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can pull out your app and tune in to our live event right now. I want to take you back, oh wow, longer than I thought. I want to take you back about 21 years ago in my life. I had just started attending a new church. I had had some tough times and needed some refreshing and had gotten invited to come to a church that First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, was remarkably instrumental in forming. And that was a church called Hillview Heights Church, because you were remarkably instrumental in forming the life of the pastor of that church. I'd gotten to know a young man named David Tooley, who was pretty awesome and who was working with junior high students at the time. How many of you know the reason David Tooley is so good at what he does is because he started with 7th and 8th graders? And anybody that starts with 7th and 8th graders has had to have learned something somewhere along the line. But we just had this powerful moment of refreshing for me. There was a song. So many times, Benny, you call them Ebenezer songs. Ricky refers to them as songs that are part of the soundtrack of our life. But there was a song that became so central in my life. It was written by a guy named Daryl Evans, and it was entitled, "I'm Trading My Sorrows." And I had some sorrows that I needed to trade at the time, most of which were the result of my poor decision-making. Have you ever had sorrows in your life that were the result of your poor decision-making? Anybody? Well, this song was very simple and very straightforward, and there was even a dance that some people did to it, and I thought that was neat. And it was unlike anything we had sung in the church in which I grew up, but it went, "I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord." And some of you right now are going, "And we say, yes, Lord," right? So powerful. But there was a bridge. There was a bridge that was part of the song, this transitional moment within the song. And I learned later, how many of you heard God's word in a song and then learned that that was part of God's word later? I learned later that the bridge that came in this song was part of God's word. It was part of the words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right after he talked about finding treasure in jars of clay. But the bridge of the song written by Daryl Evans said, "I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is going to be my strength." I mean, I'm ready to preach now. My goodness. How many of you have ever felt that way before? And God brought me into that worship center over at 3219 Nashville Road, and he shook me with those words, just like he shook me tonight with the words that we sang, some ancient, some newer, all words that draw us into the truth of who God is and the truth of how God feels about us, the truth of what God wants for us. I told Melinda in the back when we were singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood," I hugged her neck and I said, "This is such a weird song." I mean, if you're not familiar with the Christian message, Benny, you and I have talked about this. If you're not familiar with the Christian message and you go into a church service and they're singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains." I mean, only not wanting to look weird would keep you in the room, right? I mean, think about those words. But for those of us who understand what they mean, those of us who understand that Emmanuel is God with us, and it was his holy blood that he shed so that we might be forgiven of our sin, then that weird song becomes so beautiful. I'm pressed but not crushed. You ever felt that way? Pressed hard, maybe, but not crushed. Persecuted, but never abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse. Why? Because his promise will endure, that his joy will be my strength. Well, in the context of Psalm 30 tonight, I want to give you this theme, and it is the Apostle Paul's written verse from 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9, and I've quoted it on your handout in the New International Version. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. You ever been perplexed as you follow Jesus? Lord, why is this the way it is? But not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And now in that context, I want to take you to Psalm 30, because King David wrote Psalm 30, and he wrote it for a special occasion. He wrote it for the dedication of a temple he didn't get to build. In fact, he didn't even get to see it. But he wanted to build the Lord a temple, and God said no. Have you ever had God say no to you? Garth Brooks sings that some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I would disagree with the theology of one of my favorite country singers. I believe God answers every prayer. I believe that God loves us enough to say no. He's like a good, good father. It seems like we've sung that before here. He's like a good, good father who loves us enough not to give us everything we want. So sometimes God says no. Well, David had prayed that God would allow him to build the temple, and God said no. God was going to let Solomon, his son, build the temple. But David went ahead and wrote a song that was to be sung at the dedication of the temple. We've had some dedications right here in this very place. We had a dedication here in 1915. Did you know that? We dedicated the building that predated this particular building in which we now sit, that came to be known as the Great White Temple because of the ways that the sun would reflect off of the limestone facade. There was a dedication here in 1915. I don't think any of us were here that day, though. But you know, they dedicated this site and that building to the glory of God. Then there was another dedication that happened right here in 1995 because that building was destroyed by fire in October on Columbus Day of 1991. And this building was dedicated. And they brought back all the old preachers and they had a huge service, just gargantuan, as they dedicated this facility to the glory of God. And we praise God that it's still gorgeous 24 years later, even after the dedication. And we thank God that it is a beacon. But David had written this psalm as a song to be sung at the dedication of a temple he would never see, at least this side of heaven. So look with me now at Psalm 30, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. First verses 1 through 3. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. I want us to see first that God is faithful. God is faithful. If you missed the whole message, get that. God is faithful. We respond to his grace by giving him praise. We respond to God's grace by giving him praise. If you were here last week, I shared with you one of the most poignant psalms in the whole Bible, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long must I take counsel in my own head? I mean, we saw where the psalmist's thoughts got away from him. We saw where his faith started to run away from him. He saw where he was feeling like God wasn't paying much attention to him. And it was the same guy who wrote that psalm who wrote this psalm. And notice the difference in his tone. There are times when we cry out to God, and when we receive God's grace, we respond to him in praise. It's so fitting as we come through our reading plan that we would read Psalm 13 and then just days later read this one. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. I thought it was over. I thought I couldn't get out of that pit. I thought I was stuck in the miry clay. But you picked me up. You drew me out. You carried me through. And you're bringing me on. What a powerful sentiment from the psalmist. And so when God does that, our responsibility is to turn that back to Him in praise. Oh, Lord, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. Just in the last 24 hours, that's been an experience in my life as I've gone before the Lord deeply in prayer, seeking His hand, His mighty movement, and then saw Him deliver through His people something that, well, just reminds us that He is worthy of our praise. It's phenomenal. But never forget that we have a responsibility after He moves to return that back to Him in praise. When we experience His grace, don't forget to say thank you. Don't forget your manners. We're in that battle at my house right now. We're still working on it. I'm figuring by the time my son is 18, and maybe, just maybe, by the time my daughter's 47, they will get yes or no, sir, make eye contact, talk like you are trying to enunciate your words to another human being, you know, all those sorts of things. Pray for us. We'll see. But you know, as much as we try to drill it into our kids to use your manners, use your manners, use your manners, how many of us fail to use our manners with God? We beg God for things, and He shows up in a mighty way, and we forget to say thank you. That scene in the New Testament where the 10 lepers are healed, but how many came back? Just the one. Jesus said, where'd everybody else go? Oh, they got what they wanted from you, Jesus, so they don't need to come back. They didn't want you, they wanted healing. We got to use our manners. So we turn back the grace He gives into praise. But now watch, verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name, for His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Amen. I hope you've quoted that passage to yourself a million times, and I hope you quote it a million more. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Why? Because His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. How many of you have ever been surprised by God's mercies when you weren't looking for them? I got a message out of the blue from the other side of the world today from one of our friends who just calling to check in. Just how's everything going? And he's telling me how's everything going with his family. His daughter's just recently started a new school, and they're on the other side of the world. And they're seeking to do the same things over there that, frankly, we at First Baptist do every day here, that Living Hope Baptist Church does every day here, reaching out to those who are refugees and helping them find their place in this world, helping them meet the Savior by helping them meet their necessary needs. It's phenomenal. That's evidence of God's grace. He's so good. So number two is this: God is faithful. We respond to His grace by calling others to worship Him. Notice that David changes the direction. He's talking about, I will worship, I will praise, I will extol, but then he goes and starts calling other people to praise Him. Why? Because He's worthy. That's what this praise team just did on the stage. It's what our choir does every Sunday. It's what our music ministry does. It's hey, y'all. We're in South Central Kentucky. That's okay, right? Hey, y'all, God's worthy to be praised, so let's praise Him. Let's praise Him with everything we got. Let's praise Him with the harp, with the lyre, with the piano, with the organ, with the guitar, with the drums, with the cymbals, both attached to a drum set, and these things. Let's praise Him with everything we have. Let's lift our voices. Even if you can't sing, make a joyful noise. He's worthy. He's worthy. Whether you like the song or you don't like the song, He's worthy. Whether you're in the right key or you couldn't find a key on a ring, He's worthy. Return to Him the praise, so join in. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? That's what David says. So we call others to worship Him. But now watch, verse 6. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. Notice I paused there, and I did that intentionally because if you read that too quickly, it doesn't make any sense at all. What happened? Things changed. In verse 8, to you, O Lord, I cry. And to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Something shifted there, didn't it? In verse 6, in his prosperity, David said, I'll never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have made my mountain stand strong. But then everything changed. It seemed like, O Lord, you hid your face. And that mountain upon which I thought I stood so firmly crumbled beneath my feet. So where are you now? Isn't that the way life is sometimes? One of my pastor friends used to call that the ebb and flow of life. I call it the roller coaster of life. And the problem is, if you worship your ups or get stuck in the despair of your downs, you'll forget to look for God in the midst of both of them. I fully believe that God has humbled me in mountaintop experiences in my life. Some of the toughest times of my life have been some of the times that I should have been on top of the mountain more than any other. And yet, you know what I found? I found that I was worshiping the mountaintop and not the one who took me there. And sometimes I've gotten so entrenched in a valley where the valley's right in front of me and all I can see is darkness all around, and I get stuck in the pit of despair, and you know what I found there? That I forget to look to the one, the only one, who can pull me out of the miry pit. Number 3 is God is faithful. We navigate the highs and lows of life by leaning on Him. And that's exactly what you see David do here. We navigate life's highs and we navigate life's lows in the exact same way. We lean on the Lord. And notice the degree of humility that David shows. Verse 8, to you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? What's he saying? He's saying that he feels like this is it. What if I go down to the pit, Lord? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Please, Lord, do something. That's me translating that into 2019 Reynolds English. God, if you don't show up, I'm done for. So both in his highs and in his lows, he's looking to the same place. He's looking to God. Help. I find a lot of my prayers following one of two themes. Thank you, help. Thank you, help. Thank you, help. Thank you, help. Help, thank you for helping. But help some more, please, because... Well, now verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The fourth point is the exact same thing as the first point. God is faithful. We respond to his grace by giving him praise. What I want you to see tonight is this. Life is going to have highs, and life is going to have lows. And if you're like me, those things can come in the same day. If you're like me, those things can come within the context of the same hour. Because if you worship the high, or you get stuck in the despair of the low, then you miss the one who can guide you in both of them. And so sometimes when we come to Psalm 30, we fixate on just a couple of passages. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning, and that's powerful and that's true. Or you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. I mean, that's true, but we've got to see those within the context of the whole thing. And the context of the whole thing is a lot more like everyday life for me than just pulling out a couple of verses and saying, well, this is what this psalm gives us. No, it's life. And so you may be here tonight and you may be wondering why we sing so fervently. When we sing those songs about the eternal salvation that we have in our Lord. The Lord is my salvation. Why does that matter? Because life gets hard sometimes. And even the mountaintops don't last as long as we want them to. Why does it matter so much that the Lord is my salvation? Well, because they've found that 100% of human beings experience death. And apart from God, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, apart from God's grace, 100% of human beings experience hell. But God, in His great love for us, has sent His Son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and He shed His blood in our place to pay the price for our sin, so that we no longer have to be mired down in the clay of the lows or the temporary joy of the highs, but we can have a longer view, an eternal perspective. And we can know that no matter what the ride looks like here, no matter how bumpy it gets, we will have a safe landing at home with our Lord. And where you are with the Lord, that's called heaven. No matter where it is. David understood that. And because he was being carried along by the Holy Spirit, David understood that whenever they built that temple that he wanted to build, but God said, no, you can't build it, whenever they built it, they would need to be reminded of the fact that life has highs and lows. Because this temple that Solomon built wasn't the same temple that was standing when Jesus came, and it's not there now. When I take a group to Israel here in a year or so, we're not going to be able to see the temple at which this psalm was first sung at its dedication, because it's not there anymore. Why? Because life has highs and lows. But God is faithful through them all. I probably tell the story too much. But I love the story of Thomas Chisholm. Do you know who Thomas Chisholm is? Old Tom Chisholm. Sounds like a Western actor, doesn't it? He's from Franklin, Kentucky, just down 31W, down in Simpson County, second smallest county in the Commonwealth. Tom Chisholm wanted to go into ministry. And so he did. For almost a year, and it just didn't work out. He struggled with illness, and it just didn't come together. So he moved to New Jersey, and he started selling insurance. But that was not his dream. He didn't get to live his dream. But he was a hymn writer. And one of the hymns that he wrote, even in the face of the struggles he faced, even in the face of the disappointments that he faced, you know it well. It's called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou failest not. No, Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You know, you would think that the person who wrote that hymn did nothing but win his entire life. And he lost vastly more than he won. But he was still able to say, Great is Thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Tom Chisholm no longer resides in Franklin, Kentucky, or New Jersey. He resides at his eternal home with his Lord, in heaven, awaiting the return of Christ, the new heavens, the new earth, the glory with which he will live with his Savior for all eternity. But Tom's doing okay. You know why? Because great is God's faithfulness. Lord, unto me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, there have been times when we have been pressed on every side, but we've never been crushed. We've been perplexed, not quite understanding what you were doing in the moment. But we were not in despair. We've been persecuted, but not for a moment have we been abandoned. We've been struck down, but we've never been destroyed. And so with Thomas Chisholm, we say, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So, Lord, all we pray is that you would help us by your Spirit and in your grace to exhibit that very same faithfulness that you have exhibited to us. Let us be reminded not to worship the mountaintops, not to get stuck in the despair of the valleys, but to always look for you, to always praise you, to always call others to worship you, to lean on you, and to be thankful, so that with the psalmist we can say, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever, for you indeed are worthy. And Lord, as we prepare to go back out into this world of people who don't understand this, we pray that you would bless us, that we might be a blessing to them, that in looking at our lives they might see your glory, that in looking at our good deeds they might glorify our Father who is in heaven. They might know there is a God who loves them and who proved it by sending his only begotten Son to save them. Lord, let us in your power, let us by your Spirit reach them for Christ so that they can have this same hope that we have. And before we go, Lord, we'll join our voices together. Pray that prayer that you, O Lord, taught us to pray, and in so doing, we'll answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you.